Welcome to On Spec, where you'll hear stories that bring you closer to the globe. I'm your host, Feri Banawa. This season, we're exploring the impact of fake news in different parts of the world. In each episode, we get to know two people on opposing sides of the information divide. Then we have them sit down and have a conversation, face to face, to see if they can find common ground. This is Jair Messias Bolsonaro saying how he's going to make Brazil a better country. He's 65 years old and about 6 feet tall. He's a former army captain and since 2019, the president of Brazil. Throughout his political career, Bolsonaro has spread disinformation to fire up his base. One of his biggest targets is women. In one of his interviews, Bolsonaro said, "I have 5 children. There were 4 men, then the 5th I failed and we had a girl." His daughter, Laura, was 6 years old at the time. But politics in Brazil haven't always been like this. In this episode, we're taking you inside one home in Brazil where disinformation about feminism tested the bond between a father and a daughter. Brazilian journalist Giovanna Fleck explains how women's rights have been attacked by fake news in Brazil.
I think one of the most disturbing things I've ever heard Bolsonaro say was from this tape back in 2003. Back then, Bolsonaro was just a congressman. He was in Congress one day in Brasilia, the capital. And Bolsonaro got into an argument with a congresswoman named Maria do Rosario about Brazil's past military dictatorships. Bolsonaro is fond of military power, and Rosario is against dictatorships. But it got personal, and she called him a rapist, and he just called her a bitch right in front of the media. After that, Bolsonaro didn't back down from Rosario. He approached her again and said, "I'm not going to rape you, because you are not worth it." In Brazil, we call this sort of behavior by men machismo. There's no English equivalent for machismo. It is this idea of hypermasculinity that dictates what a man and a society are supposed to be. It is everywhere, and it's made a lot of people believe that men are superior to women. Bolsonaro has been in politics since the 80s, but for a long time, he was on the fringe. This moment, back in 2003, when Bolsonaro called out Rosario on national TV, this is when more people started listening. This kind of macho talk actually appealed to a lot of voters in Brazil. They identified with Bolsonaro's machismo values. That women should just focus on being caregivers and not much else. When Bolsonaro spoke like that to Rosario on national TV, I was only 15. The rise of Bolsonaro in Brazilian politics has shaped my experience growing up as a woman in Brazil. As eleições deram voz a quem não era ouvido. The night that Bolsonaro won the presidency, I cried. For me, the election could mean losing my rights as a woman. That could mean my access to abortion in Brazil would be more limited than it already is. Or, if I was sexually abused, I might not have the same rights to justice that I do now. My parents are conservative, but in my house, I can talk about things like women's rights openly with them. That's not the case for my friend, Carol Gruny. We met in college, and we both became journalists. Carol and I are reminiscing about our college days. Carol is a bisexual feminist and journalist. She's petite, with chestnut hair and a glowing smile. When Carol speaks, people like to listen. She's different from her father, Roberto. Roberto is a conservative salesman. He's a tall white man with a few gray hairs. He likes to joke and he can throw out a pun in any conversation. They are a middle-class family in Porto Alegre, the city where Carol and I both grew up. Carol has trouble talking to her dad, Roberto, especially about politics. Like many Brazilian families, Carol and her dad are from different generations. Parents these days in Brazil tend to be conservative. And me and Carol, the millennials, we're usually more progressive. I asked Carol and her father, Roberto, to record themselves at home, especially their conversations about how politics affects their relationship. It wasn't easy to convince Roberto. He's not into talking about his feelings. But to my surprise, Roberto and Carol agreed. One day, Carol asks Roberto what he thinks about feminists criticizing Bolsonaro.
Feminists overreacted, as if the president could do that much damage to women.
Carol is upset when her dad defends Bolsonaro. Carol says, "No, Dad. The president's remarks have been hurtful to women." But Roberto isn't convinced. He's been following fake news that downplays Bolsonaro's actions.
He didn't say that. Those are not his words. Feminists changed his words.
Carol and Roberto debate a lot since being stuck in quarantine together during the pandemic. And feminism and sexism comes up in their conversations often. The relationship is a window into how politics has divided Brazilians, even within families. Their arguments make it tough for Carol to have a healthy and respectful relationship with her dad. But it's tough for Roberto too.
We have already had strong controversies between us. Because she's on the left and I'm not. We fought a lot.
Carol became political in university while she lived at home. Her mother, Elisa, shares her father's conservative ideas. Elisa explains to her daughter why she supported Bolsonaro.
I don't really care about politics. I have no patience for it. Unfortunately, I don't believe in Brazil's politics. I think there's a lot of corruption. For a lack of options, I also voted for Bolsonaro.
Carol's parents grew up in rural Brazil. At that time, there was a military dictatorship. Conversations about things like feminism or racial discrimination were implicitly forbidden, because they could get you arrested. So instead, Carol's parents talked about the weather, cooking, and church with their own families. They met each other in university in the city, married and had two daughters, Carol and her sister Roberta, who's 6 years old. When Carol entered university, she started waking up to injustice. Carol felt infuriated by how women and minorities are treated in Brazil, and she wanted to help create change. Carol tells me how her parents reacted to her activism.
They would criticize the left, and I would present them with my views from the left, but they refused to accept it.
Carol would end up arguing with her father when the family sat together at dinner. Whenever her parents watched the news or went on social media, Roberto became more charged and angry with Carol about her views. Roberto was getting most of his information from groups on WhatsApp and his own social media. It was fake news about how all feminists were extreme and wanted to take away our family values. And again, it fueled fear. One night, days before Bolsonaro was elected president, Carol's arguments with her parents reached a boiling point. Carol was talking about the latest news with her family, and she wanted to know her mother's reaction. But instead of having a constructive conversation, they just started arguing. It's still hard for the family to talk about it.
I have a trauma with that, and I have a block.
But as Carol and I keep talking, she opens up.
Yes, the fight actually started with my mom. I was very sad because... I am very attached to my mom. My mom is everything to me. And I was very sad that politics is not important to her. Only at that moment. It was very important to me, and I wanted her to understand that it was important. Only that. She doesn't understand, and I really wanted her to understand. My fight was with her.
At the time, there had been a rash of violent attacks on women, and Bolsonaro's rhetoric was becoming dangerous. Carol told her mother that Bolsonaro was instigating violence against women and minorities. But that's not how her parents saw it. Carol shouted at her mother. Elisa told Carol the violence wasn't Bolsonaro's fault.
Aquele período das eleições foi muito doido, porque, tipo, não era só política.
But I really felt it was a personal attack. When I told my parents that I'm a woman, a journalist, and bisexual, and they voted for something that went against everything I believe in, it was because it was not just a vote, it was me. It was hurting me.
As Carol and Elisa continued to argue, Roberto stepped in to defend his wife. Carol remembers seeing his nostrils flare with anger. Roberto is still not comfortable discussing that night. I asked Carol if her father got violent that night. She says yes, softly. Carol's also not comfortable telling me all the details, but she did tell me later that Roberto raised his hand as if he was going to hit her, but he stopped himself. Instead, he kicked Carol out of the house. She dropped out of college because her father was paying for it, and she had no money. She started working two jobs and eventually got hired as a reporter at a big news outlet, even without a degree. The fallout from the argument became one of the most difficult chapters in Carol's life.
Eu senti que eu tava realmente sozinha.
In those months, I felt very alone.
She moved into her own apartment and started talking to her mom and sister again. But Carol and Roberto stopped speaking. In today's Brazil, we're not just a polarized country, we're a country of polarized households. When parents talk to their kids, it's like talking through a closed door. But our parents grew up in a different Brazil. When our parents were young, there was no freedom of expression under the military dictatorship. Then Brazil opened and it became a democracy. But in this new democracy, there was a lot of corruption. Stealing of public funds, bribery, greed at the highest levels. People like Carol and me, we saw the corruption scandals too. But we had hope because, scandal or not, we had a right to vote. And we wanted to fight to keep it that way. For the younger generation, things seem pretty good. New and improved laws to protect women against violence had just been passed. And Brazil had elected its first woman president, a progressive named Dilma Rousseff. But Rousseff, also a feminist, was impeached for getting caught up in a corruption scandal. Other male presidents before her got away with all kinds of scandals. After Rousseff's impeachment, my parents' generation connected feminism with political bribery, and the resentment against corruption simmered. Then Congressman Bolsonaro is voting to impeach Rousseff during the impeachment hearing. Bolsonaro publicly said that he wished Rousseff would get cancer or a heart attack. In less than a decade, we went from a left-wing woman president to Bolsonaro, a far-right misogynist. That's because despite all the political changes, the machismo culture was always lingering. I saw it firsthand, even when I was a little girl. Now, I'm 23 years old. Growing up, my mom was a stay-at-home mom and my dad was a businessman. At home, my sister and I were treated with love as girls. But outside, as I got older, I quickly realized being a girl was going to be a challenge. It was normal for boys to touch girls at parties without their consent. Girls couldn't join the boys' soccer games because people believed they didn't have the endurance. In school, a girl who kissed many boys was easy, and a boy who kissed many girls, desired. I remember the first time I realized girls are treated differently. I was 3 and playing with my neighbor, a boy named Lippy. At some point, he did something that upset me, and I punched him. My mom stopped me and said that I couldn't hit him because I was a young lady. To her, it wasn't wrong to hit him because it was wrong to hit a person. It was wrong because I am not a boy. I grew up and became a journalist, and the sexism got worse. As the only woman reporter at a press conference, a male politician refused to take my questions. Then, there were the many times that a male source asked me out on a date. During an interview. And then, when Bolsonaro became president, things got worse for women. And a big part of the problem was fake news Bolsonaro helped spread. In front of his supporters, Bolsonaro accuses a respected woman journalist of seducing her sources to get information against the president. That's a lie, but his audience lost in encouragement. The journalist and her young son were harassed after Bolsonaro's comments were shared online. A team of bloggers and activists linked to Bolsonaro's sons even set up a committee inside of the capital, Brasilia, to spread fake news about Bolsonaro's political opponents. And it showed how far Brazil's right-wing politicians would go to spread fear against women opponents. And unfortunately, the lies were working to scare people like our parents. The content was shared mostly on social media, especially WhatsApp. Influencers picked up on the fake news like Bicho Honey and spread the lies on their own platforms. One of those influencers is Sarah Winter. Carol and I got to know Sarah in high school from mainstream media. She was a feminist back then, and not just any feminist. Sarah was part of Femen, a group of women that used their bodies to protest sexism. They show up unexpectedly at events and take off their tops.
Free Amina! Free Amina!
Sarah frequently participated in these demonstrations. But things changed with the rise of Bolsonaro. Within a few years, Sarah actually cut ties with Femen and became a supporter of our new president and his machismo. Sarah, once a former sex worker, says she felt sexually exploited with Femen. At a more recent protest against feminism, Sarah asked the crowd, why more attention is it given to violence against men? Why is it always about women, she says. Sarah gained hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram because she was mimicking Bolsonaro. One of them was Roberto, Carol's father, who also ended up voting for Bolsonaro. My friend Carol thinks that Sarah started presenting extreme views to become popular with older Brazilians, like her father.
Eu lembro que eu me senti muito feliz quando eu soube que a Sarah tinha sido presa.
Sarah, while a feminist, I think she was one of the main people responsible for creating this idea in Brazil that feminists are angry women, walk around without a bra, shouting in the street, peeing on things, these bizarre images. But that's not what the feminist movement represents. So she helped to create this aversion to feminism, and today, as an anti-feminist, she continues to do the same thing, which is to continue feeding anti-feminism. So she did in both sides, claiming to be a feminist and now declaring herself anti-feminist.
Sarah's anti-feminist messages really added to the tensions between Carol and her dad. Sarah spread fake news stories that claimed feminists were just egocentric, after personal gain, at the expense of everyone else, especially men. Sarah became militant. She showed up with a small group of her supporters carrying torches in front of Brazil's Supreme Court. They protested and shot fireworks at the court building because federal judges would not support Bolsonaro's policies. The police arrested Sarah and put her in jail for a week first, then under house arrest. The courts blocked her social media accounts. But Sara still found ways to spread her messages on social media from her home. In the background of her videos, you can see a Brazilian flag etched with the words Brazil without abortion. Catholicism is the majority religion here in Brazil. And abortion is a very contested issue. About 30 years ago, people talked about legalizing abortion, but it is still mostly banned in Brazil. it is only permitted in 3 cases. If the mother's life is endangered by the pregnancy, if she is raped, or if the fetus suffers brain damage. That pushes women who want abortions further into the shadows. One woman dies every 2 days from a botched abortion, making it one of the main causes of death among women in Brazil. At the same time, a young girl whose uncle had been raping her since she was 6 years old became pregnant at the age of 10, biologically too young to have a baby. The courts granted the girl the right to an abortion, but Sada and her followers tried to stop it. Sada shared the girl's name, the name of the hospital, and the date of the abortion on her Twitter account. Twenty of Sada's supporters went to the front of the hospital and held hands in prayer to prevent the girl and her family from entering through the front door to get the abortion. They shouted "assassin" to the abortion doctor who was inside the hospital. They called for the doctor to be lynched. Then the group of Sada's supporters tried to forcibly enter the hospital. The girl's family hid her inside the trunk of their car and then snuck her into the hospital through another entrance. She had the abortion, but now she and her family are under a government victim protection program to prevent criminals like Sarah from exposing them to violence. The government charged Sada for sharing a rape victim's private information. If convicted, Sada will have to pay $542,000. In this moment of brutal polarization in Brazil, Sada is an example of how disinformation drives extreme narratives about issues like women's rights. But at the same time, Sada shows us how the extreme can bury itself down a rabbit hole so deep that it loses support. And one of the supporters Sada lost was Roberto, Carol's father. In March 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic hit Brazil hard. There was no lockdown, but families went into quarantine voluntarily because Brazilians were dying in the hundreds of thousands. Carol joined the family in quarantine at her mother's request. Carol's grandmother had recently died of cancer, and her mom needed her daughter's support. It was at home, all together once again, that Carol decided to find common ground with Roberto.
Eles chegaram juntos, né? Eu fui da minha casa para lá.
When I arrived, my parents were already there. I remember looking at him, but I don't even remember hugging. It wasn't a big reunion, it was a coincidence. So, I didn't miss living with my parents so much, but rather meeting with them as a family. I think having a family is having a place to return to, and at that moment in my life, I felt that I had nowhere to return. I was always apart. I didn't feel part of something, really. I think that was the most difficult.
There was still tension at home when discussions turned to politics. But Carol told me that recording their conversations for OnSpec sort of broke the ice, so that even Roberto could talk about changing his political views. Roberto says that he didn't feel represented by the left, so he believed that Bolsonaro and his cadre, like Sarah, were the only option. And Roberto says that disinformation affected him.
I think that before I believed in fake news, but now I realize it's fake.
Elisa is equally disappointed in the president she voted for.
We were deceived, so I ended up not interested in politics. I know it is important to decide for the best and make a conscious vote, but it is disheartening.
All these realizations brought the family closer. For Carol, one of the most surprising moments with her father is when she asks him about abortion.
Do you see yourself in favor of abortion?
Obviously.
Ah.
I have always been in favor of abortion, in any case. If the woman doesn't want it, or the parents don't want to have it, I am in favor. Women are the ones who conceive. They have the right to end the pregnancy.
That's right. Roberto supports a woman's right to choose. But really, the way Carol sees it, that's actually a huge change for him. And it comes down to Sara. The entire family agrees that she should remain in jail. None of the family members shares Sara or Bolsonaro's far-right ideologies. They have a loosely shared view of Brazil now. One without the extra noise of extremism and fake news. One where Roberto's daughters have the same rights as somebody else's sons. On an evening in November last year in Porto Alegre, Carol's family sits down to have dinner. Her mother talks to her little sister. Carol and Roberto talk about the US elections. Roberto defends Trump. He says Trump was only against illegal immigrants, not immigration in general. Carol disagrees. Then the conversation shifts into how one goes about becoming an American citizen. No one talks over the other, no one yells. The tone is polite, even though they disagree. COVID-19 lockdowns have affected people all over the world. But in Carol's case, being stuck in quarantine together made her family learn to get along. Carol doesn't even leave the house. She wants to make sure her parents don't get COVID.
After Carol came back, we haven't had controversial discussions. Maybe we have less difficulty because we have a little more space. We have different corners for each person in the house. Roberta has also been a point of union.
But both sides have evolved in how they deal with opinions they don't agree with. They empathize with each other. Carol decided to forgive Roberto.
Tu humaniza muito mais, né? Essa semana eu tive uma...
Yes, you humanize them a lot more. He said that I disagree with him a lot. He was upset. My father is like this. He's quiet when he's upset. At night I went downstairs, he was on the couch. And I thought, I'm going to apologize to him and give him a hug. And I went and hugged him. And for him, it was very special. I knew it would be.
And Roberto tells Carol in his own way that he was worried about her.
We thought we would always be close. We didn't imagine that you'd have a crazy phase then. You disappeared from home, your mother was desperate, calling 50 friends and having no way to find you. You didn't answer messages. You were a rebel without a cause.
With things more peaceful at home, Carol can reflect more on why politics divided her family.
Aquele período das eleições foi muito doido, porque, tipo...
In 2018, that election period was really crazy. It wasn't just politics, it was us. And it was very personal, it wasn't just the people in power. It was my life. I felt that voting for Bolsonaro was an attack on me. Today, being more mature, I think I went too far in taking it too personally.
Now, there's a tenderness in Carol and Roberto's conversations, even when it's about feminism.
Did you think anything when you found out I was going to be a girl? In relation to feminism, in relation to me being a woman?
No, at that time, I don't think it would change so much in how men saw women.
But what about protecting their daughters? I think parents think about it a lot.
Yes, well, I actually think so. I have thought about that my whole life, trying to take care of you.
Talking to Carol's family, I see a glimmer of light. The experience of the family, I hope, will become the example of Brazilian reality. They understand each other, even if they disagree. And that would have been unthinkable 2 years ago. As for the rest of the country, even though there's been a huge effort to further restrict abortion, the conservatives are failing to take away women's rights. Our worst fears about Bolsonaro's presidency haven't happened. At least for now. Still, we have a long way until the next presidential elections in 2022. But I'm not as afraid anymore, because I see people like Carol's family. Ones on complete opposite sides are coming round, slowly to an understanding. For OnSpec, this is Giovanna Fleck in Porto Alegre, Brazil.
Thanks, Giovanna, for such a touching story. I jumped with happiness when I heard that OnSpec actually helped the family break the tension. As journalists, we usually just present the struggles that others are dealing with, but it's really nice when we can actually be part of the solution, even in a small way. Thank you guys for listening. The month of March has been dedicated to women, and this story was in honor of all the women around the globe fighting against patriarchy, violence, and fake news. Thanks to Carol Grunet and her family for letting us into their home and hearts. Editors and producers on this story were Levi Bridges, Alisa Resnick, Oscar Durand, Farah Mokhtarizadeh, and me. A big shout out for our volunteers who did the voiceovers. Joanna Özkan as Carol, Vitor Leitana as Roberto, and Sophie Lehrer as Elisa. We're grateful to the Brazilian music band Tuyu and Okaha Lab for their music. Join us in 2 weeks on April 3rd, and On Spec will take you to India. Indian journalist Prachi Pingle Plummer will be asking, how can we find love in times of hate when fake news is causing communal violence and religious discrimination? Until then, we look forward to your feedback on Apple Podcasts. We also want to connect with our listeners personally and ask about your podcast needs. If you're game for a short interview, shoot us an email at onspecpodcast@gmail.com.